Time to return to the first case, U.S. versus Clark, 071616. Ms. Hickstein Foley and Ms. Cannon.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Donna Foley on behalf of Mr. Mark Clark. Your Honors, this matter, the issue before the Court in this matter is the defendant's argument that the 2D1.1 enhancement that defendant possessed a firearm regarding the trafficking of drugs was not supported by the record, and also in light of District of Columbia versus Heller, which found that there is a Second Amendment protected right to possess a firearm, renders 2D1.1B1 constitutionally questionable, depending on how it is applied. Your Honors, in this case, the government offered various pieces of evidence to support the allegation that Mr. Clark possessed a firearm in connection with drug trafficking, one of them which is an officer Velasquez who came into court and testified and was subject to cross-examination with regard to an incident that had occurred prior to the indicted conduct. In that matter, defendant was not armed, and defendant allegedly told the officer that he was not carrying a gun that day. Secondly, there was evidence offered in the form of hearsay through Lazarus Gonzalez's plea agreement, whereby he had indicated he worked security since the early 90s and he knew defendant to carry a gun. Another piece of evidence was in the form of three different informants, all of whom, again, the information was offered through their hearsay statements, that one, CS4, was allegedly a principal enforcer, and he said that there was a storage unit where several illegal guns were kept, and including a rocket launcher. A CS5, who was allegedly a drug user, who said he saw a defendant with a gun on at least one occasion. And lastly, CS6, who was a cooperator, whose cooperation apparently had been terminated for one reason or another. And in this case, Judge, Your Honors, the defendant argues that Officer Velasquez's testimony was as to a stale event that had occurred prior to the indicted offense conduct, and that the other individuals provided, with the exception, which I will address in a moment, CS6, provided statements that were so unspecific with regard to how they knew their information, what in fact they actually saw, and when it occurred, which is specifically the most troubling. The distinction that I draw, however, with CS6, who does in fact state that there is an incident in 2004, which is within the indicted time period, that he had seen the defendant with a kilo of drugs or half a kilo of drugs and several guns. Where this becomes, defendant has argued that this incident is one out of many that were in fact not reliably offered to the court, and the court therefore could not reasonably rely on it, and that I believe that under those circumstances, CS6 is one statement out of all of those, should have been, when looked at all the others, should have been subject to cross-examination. But also, Your Honors, I think...
I'm going to interrupt for a minute and ask you about Mr. Gonzalez. Gonzalez, the co-defendant who offered to testify against him?
I'm sorry, did you ask me?
Lazarus Gonzalez. Yes. Didn't he provide some information about it?
Through the plea agreement.
Right.
Right. But his statement that is in the record is that he knew defendant to carry a gun, but we don't know when he knew defendant to carry a gun. And this is the problem that I was pointing out with regard to all of these individuals. And again, with the one exception I will say of CS6, because there is one incident that CS6 does give a specific time period, but to say that defendant carried a gun on at least one occasion he knew the defendant to carry a gun. How did he know the defendant to carry a gun? When was that one occasion? And this is the concern that I have that I bring to the court's attention, because the court has itself, in the case of United States versus Sedano Rojas, which is cited in my brief, that the court encouraged the use of caution and an exacting measure in permitting this type of evidence to come in, particularly if it's stale evidence.
Well, Ms. Foley, if you took all of these statements together, though, looked at the totality of them, wouldn't you have enough to say that when this fella did drug deals, he was in the habit of carrying a gun? That was his modus operandi.
Your Honor, I don't think that that when looking at the officer's testimony or looking at the other individual's testimony, that there is enough specificity here to know whether or not this person, when he did carry a gun, was it in furtherance? It has to be, not in furtherance, but it has to be in relation to the drug trafficking. And there's such a lack of specificity here for a judge to reasonably rely on whether or not it occurred during that time period, not just that he carried a gun.
He's the central figure in a major drug operation in housing projects, a very dangerous organization, dealing drugs daily. It's pretty hard to pin it down to each and every day, isn't it?
Well, I don't think that it actually is. The court would never require the government to say it occurred on a specific day, but I certainly think that they could be required to say it occurred within a specific time period or specific year. I mean, that's not asking too much for it. For them to do. Your Honor, I would like to address the constitutional issue, if I may, before I lose my time. The District of Columbia versus Heller concerns the Second Amendment right to for an individual to have a gun. And this is obviously a fairly recent case, and there isn't a lot of case law on it. But what it does leave us with at this juncture is that that possessing a gun is a protected right. And that means that the individuals who testified, the one individual testified and the other individuals whose statements were offered are saying that Mr. Clark possessed a gun or that he carried a gun. Well, he had an absolute right to do that under District of Columbia versus Heller.
He had no criminal history points. He had no prior felonies.
Your Honor, with regard to whether or not it is it's a protected right, it's a protected right, whether or not there were other reasons why he shouldn't have carried the gun, I'm not saying that there weren't, but it is a protected right.
I don't think the Heller case affects the validity of the federal prohibition against a felon carrying a firearm.
But still has to be in connection, the 2D1.1 says it still has to be in connection with the drug trafficking.
By the way, did you argue this Heller issue before the district court?
No, Your Honor, I was not the attorney before the district court. And the Heller issue occurred after this matter.
So it was not argued to the
district
court.
That's correct. Your Honors, I would ask the court to consider, in light of Heller, that in the case of United States versus Bailey, which is not specifically argued in my brief, but which I will supplement, it's located at 516 U.S. 137. It's a 1995 case that, in fact, went to a 924C violation. But I think that it's apropos here in that the court in that case found that in that statute that there had to be something more shown than the mere presence of a gun at the time of drug trafficking. There had to have been brandishing, firing, some attempt to use the gun, more than an inert presence. And while that case eventually went on to have 924C was amended, but I still think that one can go back to look at that kind of reasoning in light of District versus Heller and 2D1.1 that, in fact, something more needs to be shown here that rather than just that defendant is said to have carried a gun or defendant is was seen with a gun on at least one occasion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cannon?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Rachel Cannon on behalf of the United States. The government is respectfully requesting that this Court affirm the defendant's sentence. The District Court committed no error, let alone clear error, when it concluded that the defendant possessed firearms in furtherance of his drug trafficking. At the defendant's sentencing, the government introduced ample evidence in the form of defendant's own admissions, as well as hearsay and non-hearsay statements, to provide a more than reliable basis for the District Court to conclude that the defendant possessed firearms in furtherance of his drug trafficking. It was undisputed that the defendant was a longtime, high-ranking drug dealer who controlled most to all of the drug dealing in the Robert Taylor homes, at least as of July of 2004. He admitted as much in his plea agreement. There was also evidence introduced in the form of relevant conduct evidence to show that the defendant had been a high-ranking drug trafficker in the Robert Taylor homes since the mid-1980s. The government also introduced evidence from three cooperating confidential informants and a name source, and all of that evidence, when read together, put the defendant with firearms and drugs in the Robert Taylor homes during the time period charged in the indictment, as well as during the relevant conduct time period.
So the basic argument is the totality of the circumstances gives a sufficient amount of evidence for the Court to have reached that conclusion.
Yes, Your Honor. In addition, many of the individual pieces of evidence standing alone also provide a reasonable basis. For example, there was co-defendant Lazarus Gonzalez's sworn written plea agreement in which he admitted that he had worked security for defendant Clark since the 1990s and in that position had carried a firearm himself in furtherance of his duties.
This is the fellow who was around for quite a while.
Right? Yes, Your Honor. And he admitted to also seeing Mark Clark carry a firearm when he was working for Mark Clark during the Mark Clark's drug trafficking operation. In addition, the government called a Chicago police officer who described the defendant's admission to him that it was his habit to carry a firearm. In short, it's unfathomable that a longtime, high-ranking gangster disciple who controlled most of all of the drug trafficking in the Robert Taylor homes would not carry a firearm. Firearms are tools of the drug trade. In short, the district court had ample evidence to conclude that the defendant possessed firearms in furtherance of his drug trafficking, and the government is respectfully requesting that this court affirm the defendant's sentence.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that concludes the argument. Thank you, both counsel.